Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, Donald and Melania Trump were just asked on camera what they pray for and what they are asking people to pray for. And we're going to play this short clip of an interview with David Brody of CBN News in segment four today when we close this program, as we have been doing, in prayer for our nation. And with that, I'm Sam Rohr, and I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today along with David Kistler and Gary Dahl. And on this program today, in segment two, we're going to invite in to join us our constitutional expert and our Stand in the Gap today Washington beat attorney, David New, to discuss the key question of this: is the rule of law and justice on life support in the United States? Get that? We're going to ask him, is the rule of law and justice on life support in the United States, and will this election determine that answer? You're not want to miss this discussion here, considering what happens if the justice system collapses due to the ongoing conspiracy to obstruct justice at the highest levels. Can we ever get it back? In segment three, we're going to consider the likely options in a case of contested election day, which is increasingly appearing it may be. What could happen? And we'll continue this discussion also with our attorney, David New. But the highlight news I'd like to cover right at the beginning of the program today is breaking research from George Barna, the American Culture and Faith Institute, that just released yesterday. This is the title, ladies and gentlemen. It says this, quote, "Changing election patterns in Ohio among Christian conservatives reflect national shifts," end quote. David and Gary, I'm going to read just a little bit from this research because it is significant, and I think it'll be explanatory, self-explanatory. In the research report, again, this is American Culture and Faith Institute. George Barna, normally with us on every other Thursday, has been interviewing and doing research with conservative Christians, evangelicals across the country. And those research indications have kind of gone up and down. But this is what he's stating, and I'm reading quote from the report right now. "With less than 1 week to go before election 2016, the ground is shifting like an earthquake as Americans reconsider who they really want in the White House and the U.S. Senate. It's a fitting end to an election cycle that has seen more intrigue, conflicts, and plot twists than a daytime soap opera, despite our desperate for network renewal. The latest survey from American Culture and Faith Institute, conducted in the swing state of Ohio, confirms that even the Christian conservative population, which is notoriously consistent in its thinking and voting behavior, has made some substantial shifts in opinion since the previous statewide poll in the Buckeye State was taken, happened to be back in May." And that's basically what they're saying. Now, a May survey took place, at which point it was clear that Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton would be the party nominees. He goes on to say here at this report, quote, "Things have changed bigly," end quote. Bigly obviously is not a word, but he's trying to emphasize the fact that it's big change. "Currently, 92% of the sagecons in Ohio are supporting Mr. Trump. 92% of Christian conservatives in Ohio are supporting Mr. Trump. Less than 1% back Mrs. Clinton. Only 4% support other candidates." I'm continuing to read. "Further, only 1% now claim they will not vote for president." That's good, down less to 1%. "And the proportion of undecideds have plummeted to a mere 1%. Among those backing Mr. Trump, the proportion saying they are totally committed," which is the highest count you're going to get, "to voting for him has jumped from 59% in May, when he became the Republican candidate, to 83%. Now, this is key here, what I'm going to read. "Perhaps the most interesting shift, however, relates to the reasons why people are supporting the New York businessman. Back in May, two-thirds, 66%, chose him because of their dislike for Hillary Clinton. However, now, 5 months later, the table has flipped. The most common motivation for backing Mr. Trump is now his positions on key issues. That now by 75%. They have not warmed up to Hillary Clinton. Fewer of them plan to vote for her now. 57% say their dislike of her was a dominant reason, but now their reasons for voting for Trump have increased significantly. Now, I want to go here in the remaining minutes just to get some input. That really, what George Barna was saying, major shift, battleground state of Ohio. But he's saying that the same kinds of information are finding they're occurring in other key states. North Carolina is a key state. Dave Kistler, I want to go to you first. What are you seeing on the ground in North Carolina? You're speaking. You're also talking with people across the country. But give us a view of your sense from talking to people in North Carolina.
Let me talk just a little bit about that, Sam. I just voted this morning. The turnout has been huge. That's what the poll workers told me where I voted. And I think that is reflective of what's taking place across the state. Sam, I think there's three things going on here within the state of North Carolina. And this may speak as well for some of the other battleground states as well. I think some of the Republicans are coming home. There's some discussion of that taking place in some of the media outlets right now. Toward the end of an election, those that have maybe held out start to come home and their party loyalty starts to kick in. There is something going on with respect to that, but I think there's something way more important going on. The more people learn about the party platform this time on the GOP side and how not just conservative it is, how biblical it is, and the more they learn about the journey, and this is the way we're wording it here on Stand in the Gap today, the spiritual journey that Donald Trump is on, the more comfortable they are feeling with him. And then there is a third thing, and that is this. The more information that comes out about Hillary Clinton, the corruption, the thorough corruption. She is in bed with almost the devil himself, along with her husband, Bill. The more that the people learn about the corruption that is involved in the Clinton campaign, the Clinton Foundation, and all things that are Bill and Hillary Clinton, the more they understand, I have no choice but to vote for Donald Trump. So, Sam, I think that's what's happening in this state and perhaps around the nation.
Gary Dahl, let me go to you. You're in Western Pennsylvania. Western Pennsylvania, a lot of blue-collar Democrats out your way. What are you sensing in your part of the state of Pennsylvania, key state also?
Well, I would think we're seeing the same thing here. And, of course, keep in mind that George Barna's survey has to deal with SageCons. And, of course, we know that that is the spiritually active governance-engaged conservatives. So I don't know that it's broader than that, these statistics that you're sharing. But I will say this, that under the SageCons, it appears from talking to the individuals that I've been talking to and just making observations here in central to western Pennsylvania, there is more and more and more support for Donald Trump. That was not necessarily the case. I know for sure 3 months ago, because in talking to a lot of the SageCons, as it were, they had all sorts of questions. In fact, some of them were running from him. But now they are running to him, and I do think that it's, as Dave said, some of them have read the platforms, they've compared the platforms, and now with some of these revelations that are coming out about Hillary Clinton, I think we're going to see more and more go towards Donald Trump.
David, I'm going to bring you in quickly, 20 seconds here. What state do you hail from, and do you agree with what David and Gary are saying in their areas?
Absolutely, I do agree with it. I think it's just wonderful. I do, ladies
okay.
and gentlemen.
And with that, we're going to leave it right there. David New, it's wonderful. I'm going to stop your comment right there. We're going to bring you back here on segment two. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Stand on the Gap today. Sam Rohr, David Kistler, and Gary Dahl. When we come back, we're going to get into deep discussion with our attorney, David New, on the theme, is the rule of law and justice on life support, and will this election determine that answer? We're going to get into some very, very key questions, some of what already been alluded to in this first discussion. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Jan Markell, helping you understand the times.
Realistically, you want to read the people. You're going to learn a whole lot more if you understand where that individual comes from, what they've done, and perhaps most importantly, what they want to do.
People continually ask, who is the right candidate? And I say both candidates are flawed people. However, we need to choose one, so how do we make that choice? My advice is simple, since it seems that neither candidate is a stellar choice. I would vote for the party whose platform seems to be the most moral in principle. I would also vote for the party that supports legislation that is in keeping with our Constitution and will support the rights of religious freedom. Don't let the candidates keep you from voting. There is more at stake than just a couple of flawed candidates. Make sure you vote. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
Acts 4:13 Ministries invites you to join us for the Valley Forge Leadership Prayer Breakfast this November 4th at the Crown Plaza in King of Prussia. Men and women will meet to fellowship, network, pray, and hear the testimony of notable Christians in the public eye, and of course, enjoy a delicious breakfast. For over 20 years, the Valley Forge Leadership Prayer Breakfast has been a wonderful blessing to Christian professionals living out their faith, as well as a unique opportunity to introduce the gospel to unchurched friends in a warm and comfortable setting. Our 2016 keynote speaker is General Jerry Boykin, original member of Delta Force, military leader, author, and pastor. General Boykin will share exciting accounts of fighting on the battlefield and of faith while serving at the top levels of government. Invite your friends to hear the insights behind what drives this true American warrior to follow, serve, and lead. For more information and online registration, visit vflpb.org. That is vflpb.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, is the rule of law and justice truly on life support? And what difference is this election going to make? Well, we happen to think it's going to make a big difference, but we're going to get some input here from David New in just a second. Dave, let me set this up just a bit for us. The unfolding components of this election are frankly more than one person can digest. And at this point, it appears that more than 100 agents of the FBI can digest. With all of these emails that are being released, it's almost too much for the government to digest. But nonetheless, these ongoing investigations, and I'd say conspiracy to defraud the American people through lying and deceit, conspiracy to obstruct justice, which has been established through these emails between the FBI, the Department of Justice, State Department, and the White House, the president himself, and on it goes. Dave, I want to bring you in now as a constitutional attorney to speak on a few of these things. First of all, let me welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today.
It's so nice to be with you.
Dave, you always bring a wealth of input, and we're coming to you as a constitutional attorney expert, historical expert on matters of law, and so forth. And on this program earlier this week, Tuesday, matter of fact, we had former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann with us. She brought up the fact that regardless of the further investigations and potential indictments by the FBI for a multitude of criminal activities surrounding Hillary Clinton, that President Obama could, or in fact would, likely pardon her before he leaves office. She went as far as to suggest that because of the implications where the president himself is involved in these activities, that he could and or perhaps would want to pardon himself. Now, I want to start right here on this question to you, Dave. Is there a precedent for a president to pardon himself? And can that actually be done? What would be the effect on the system of law if that actually were to be done?
She claims that President Obama is going to give a pardon to Hillary Clinton.
That is a suggestion, and I have heard enough to know that that's part of why I think, David, don't you, that Hillary Clinton, when she stands up and says, hey, I've done nothing wrong, and she's made statements like, basically, who can touch me? It's as if she believes there is an ace card. That ace card certainly could be a presidential pardon, right?
Hmm. Well, I just don't think that the chances of President Obama issuing a pardon to Hillary Clinton is in the cards at all. I don't think there's any possibility, because that would basically show what a complete fool he is. Of course, I'm not going to go any further on that line. And the other business about himself issuing a pardon, the Constitution in Article 2, Section 2, it just has this brief little sentence that says, and he shall have the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. So I don't think there's any precedent at all of a president issuing his own pardon for himself. I think there is one for President Ford giving it to Richard Nixon. But I think very, very highly of Michelle Bachmann. I just absolutely think she served this country well. But I don't think there's any chance of either one of those events occurring at all.
David, let me jump in and ask you this. The phrase or the words constitutional crisis have been bandied about a good bit lately. And with respect yes. to the criminal investigation into Hillary and Bill, their State Department collusion with the DOJ and all that's going on with the email scandal, could if this... this entire scenario that we're watching play out in front of us, if this is not brought to a just and equitable conclusion, is there the possibility that we could face a constitutional crisis? And if so, what would that look like and what would it produce?
Well, as you know, I predicted that Hillary Clinton, if she is elected, would face at least two articles of impeachment for obstruction of justice on two different accounts. And that would be, by definition, a constitutional crisis, because that means that the government is in great turmoil. When you have President Bill Clinton meeting with the Attorney General, who just days before the FBI director issues his opinion, and of course this President Bill Clinton is the same Bill Clinton that appointed this Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, as the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York when he was president, you've got a clear situation where justice is very, very corrupt. Bill Clinton has absolute contempt for the law. He doesn't even have enough sense to maintain the appearance of being lawful. These people are unbelievably corrupt. I hate to say this. I don't want this woman to get elected, but right now the odds are her favor, like 55-45. I'm praying that by the time the election comes along, it'll be 55-45 in favor of Trump, and I think there's an excellent chance that could happen.
You know, it's absolutely amazing to me, Dave, how it, as we watch all of this unfold, how corrupt the Clintons are. I mean, of course, you know, we've talked about that for a long time on this program. Those of us who have followed them down through the years have been able to see that take place time after time again. How many scandals have they been involved with down through the years? It's absolutely unbelievable. But going along with what we are talking about here, since our legal system as we have it today has switched so heavily to precedent and case law and really away from constitutional law, would the failure to bring some of these matters to full justice with full penalties of the law being imposed, and would that likely destroy the system of law as we know it today? And if so, what would it take to bring back true justice within the legal system in such a way that, once again, we could say that America is a nation of laws? We've gotten away from that.
Well, this country has been, the Constitution has been in a free fall for quite some time in this country. It's not just the presidents and members of Congress that are doing it. In 2015, the United States Supreme Court, without any constitutional basis whatsoever, declared same-sex marriage the law of the land. The 14th Amendment has nothing to say about same-sex marriage, and you can't find it in the Constitution, and that shows the contempt they have for the Constitution of the United States. Now you've got a President Obama who thinks he can run the whole government with a pen and a telephone. This country is in very serious trouble. The only way we can redeem the situation, and we may be beyond the point of no return, the only way is to have a renaissance, a rebirth, a new birth, not only of faith in God, but actual learning our Constitution and getting back to it.
Where does the Supreme Court come into this, David?
The Supreme Court is one of the most corrupting influences in America. There's no institution, I mean, the United States Supreme Court has caused more damage to the United States than narcotics, illegal drugs, and crime. When you hit the family, you hit the nation right at the core. And that's what these people have done. They are extremely, extremely bad people.
Well, Dave, that goes right to the heart of the importance of this election. I started this by putting out that question. Is the rule of law, constitutional rule of law, and justice as we know it before the law on life support? You did use the phrase libidigo, if it is already perhaps not too late. But that being the case, we do know what Clinton Kane, who they say they are going to appoint to the Supreme Court. They do want activist judges in the same vein that we're talking about. And if, in fact, they go in already indicted or guilty of all these things, David, if the Clinton-Kane ticket becomes the presidential, lead the presidency in this next 4 years, is it possible that the rule of law can survive?
The problem that Hillary Clinton, a president Hillary Clinton, is going to have, even if posts become available to the Supreme Court, the United States Senate money may not allow her to appoint anybody because she is already so damaged she can't go. She's going to be up for impeachment. She's going to be up for a criminal investigation very, very quickly as long as the Republicans hold the House. She is not going to be able to do anything. She's in trouble. The last thing she'll be worried about is the U.S. Supreme Court.
So, Dave, what you're saying then, based on all of this, and as we've talked about it before, even if, let's suppose, if a Hillary Clinton-Tim Kaine combination ascends the presidency, you are saying that with all of the baggage already there, all of the investigations already underway, all of the known connections already made just short of an indictment, if nothing else happens, she is going to be besieged by Congress with the necessary pursuance of these issues and therefore not able to govern. And then if she does govern, it's not possible that she can govern justly. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, her days of being an effective president are over. From day one, she's a dead duck.
Well, see, that's an incredible thing, ladies and gentlemen, as we are talking about this. That is why this question, is the rule of law and justice as we know it on life support? And what David New is saying is that it is under siege as we speak. And, and the outcome of what's taking place in the investigations will, in fact, put the culminating point on top of it, but it's not possible that a Clinton Kane team can even lead in the presidency because of all of these things. So we're covering some big issues. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back after these break now, we're going to continue with David New, and we're going to switch a little bit, and we're going to go to this theme. What happens in the case of a contested election day? There's a lot of things already in place that almost makes it look like you can be assured there's going to be a contested election day. We're going to talk to David New about some of the lawsuits already put in place and what they may or may not mean already. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these announcements.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama back out campaigning for Hillary Clinton at Florida International University in Miami.
The choice could not be clearer. Because Donald Trump, don't boo.
Meantime, Fox News has learned foreign intelligence services may have hacked into Hillary Clinton's private server as many as five times.
Republican House Homeland Security Committee Chair Mike McCall says the former Secretary of State's actions may have allowed adversaries access to government secrets.
This is, in my opinion, quite frankly, it's treason.
In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
The man suspected of killing two police officers in Iowa yesterday had just hours before been ordered to move out of his mother's home. Scott Green is in custody. Fox News, we report, you decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Ever wonder whether your involvement in the policy arena makes a difference? In other words, can you change things by calling or visiting your elected official about an issue? Yes, yes. Let me present Exhibit A, the defeat this session of Governor Wolf's dangerous bathroom bill that would undermine personal privacy and religious liberty. Back in 2015, most everybody in the Capitol said that passage of this legislation was inevitable. But thanks to citizens all across Pennsylvania, folks like you, who used their voice in the process, this legislation has been stopped. Thank you to all of you who got involved. Now, of course, we need you to stay engaged in this new legislative session coming next year, and part of that involves determining who will be elected in that session. Make sure to view our online voter's guide at pafamilyvoter.com and then vote on November 8th. Again, that website for our voter's guide is pafamilyvoter.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who caught the Fox News break, and a lot of our program stations across the country don't carry that, but on Fox News break, just preceding this right now, they did make an announcement that President Obama is very, very active, boldly speaking out. He's crossing. He's going into Ohio, North Carolina, and he's calling on his supporters and Hillary supporters to get out there. And he's really raising the ante a lot. By saying certain things like this, and I'm reading, and he has stated this. I'm reading quotes. He warns that literally, if the voters don't come out and elect Hillary, the fate of the world is at risk. Wow. The fate of the world. And he's also saying that we will lose our republic. I don't think I've ever heard him, gentlemen, I don't think I've ever heard him use the word republic, because it's always a democracy. To him, Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I think he may think that, well, he better start sounding a little bit more constitutional.
Dave, well, of course, Sam, he could be dying
to say something, Dave. Go ahead.
Well, Sam, let me say this. If electing Donald Trump is going to cause the world to go into a tailspin and chaos, then by implication it means electing Hillary, then that chaos can be stopped. I want you to think of the arrogance of that statement. Yeah. Think of the arrogance of that statement, that the entire world can either be thrown into chaos or prevented from going into chaos merely by the electing of Hillary Clinton. Sam, that is arrogance of the highest order.
And particularly when you take into consideration that Hillary is totally lawless and corrupt. I mean, that if that would even be the case, that would certainly show the corruptness of the world, but it also shows the corruptness of Barack Obama, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you, men, and all it's saying is that, ladies and gentlemen, bear noting in the press generally the scare tactics, the efforts to try and scare people. That's what's going back. I mean, they are beginning to weigh in from all sides. Even international globalist voices are jumping into the fray now. Tending to support that statement, saying the whole world's going to fall apart if Donald Trump is going to be elected. The same kind of thing, remember, that was stated before the Brexit vote in England. And I think it's compare these two, because what we have at stake, I think, is a world event. It's a movement that is underway. It's just our turn here, perhaps, in this nation. But that brings in David New.
Let me throw two things in here, Sam.
You just got to get in there. I don't know. I'm baiting you guys.
I know. This stuff is – Dave, you can jump in on us too. But here's the point. First of all, I think I read in the scripture one day where somebody said that when these Christians come to town, they turn the world upside down. It almost reminds me of what Trump's – of what Obama said. But seriously. I think that maybe Obama is setting himself up to be the ruler of the world through the United Nations in that particular statement. Again, just my opinion. You know, if Donald Trump gets elected, the whole world is the republic is going to go down and the whole world is in trouble. Well, who can save the whole world? It's me, ladies and gentlemen, Barack Obama, as the Secretary of the United Nations.
You know, Gary, that's an interesting statement. Sam, you know, what Gary's bringing up may be something we need to consider and talk about at some point. If Donald Trump wins the election, then the UN must at some point appoint him as General Secretary to rescue the world from the clutches and influence of this guy named Donald Trump, who's the next president of the United States. However, gentlemen, and maybe David New can share some insight, Sam, maybe you can, or Gary, you can, but if I'm not mistaken, when Ronald Reagan sat on the precipice of being elected in 1980, weren't some of these same things said about him, that he's a cowboy, and if he's elected, you know, he's going to set literally the foreign policy of the United States back decades, and he's a cavalier guy, and he's going to launch a war against Russia? I mean, all the same kind of scare tactics were used in 1980 and have been used just about every election since then up until now.
Well, Dave, they have, and that's why, and as we've stated before, look who is opposing, or let's put it this way, look who is supporting the Hillary Kane ticket. It's the globalists, it's the Islamists, and it's the establishment. These are the guys who have positions who are threatened by law and order, by the Constitution, and anybody who wants justice. And with that, I'm going to go to David New, because David New, the question I want to ask you is, we're going to talk about a contested election day. In the last presidential election debate, one of the questions asked, a gotcha-type question of Donald Trump, was that would he accept the results of election day? And he said, well, it depends. I'm going to have to wait and see. I'll keep you in suspense. But we've been seeing an awful lot of reasons why what he said was really very astute. I'll start with this question to you, Dave. Democrats have already filed suit in federal court in several key states, including swing states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Nevada. And they're seeking communications between the GOP and the Trump campaign efforts in their effort to prevent voter fraud. The Democrats are saying that they are trying to suppress the votes. I want to ask you this question. This is a big issue, voter fraud. Dave, speak to us about your view of the impact of voter fraud taking place and the fact that the Democrats are already trying to put things into place to challenge whatever it is that happens on Election Day.
Well, the most famous and most historic example of voter fraud in this country probably occurred in 1948 when LBJ ran for the Senate. And it was during the primaries when he was running against a very popular Texas governor called Coke Stevens. And during this situation, Coke Stevenson won the election, basically, but 10 days after the election, this has occurred on August 28th, and about 6 days after that election, all of a sudden, 203 votes were found in a little place called Alice, Texas. And out of those 203 votes, 202 went for LBJ. And apparently, a lot of these people were dead who have voted in alphabetical order. So it was a very interesting election, and that began because he won that election, he eventually will become president. And by the way, that situation went to the U.S. Supreme Court with Hugo Black, and he made a decision, and he was, you know, the U.S. District Court said LBJ's got to get out, and Justice Hugo Black said no, he could stay, and the election is going to LBJ. And he declared that LBJ won by 87 votes out of 988,000 votes. And the lawyer for LBJ before Justice Hugo Black on the U.S. Supreme Court, it was Abe Fortas, who, when LBJ became president, he appointed Abe Fortas to the U.S. Supreme Court. But, of course, Abe Fortas couldn't stay on the Supreme Court because he had to resign because of ethics problems. That was the most famous case of voting fraud, of dead people voting, and as a result of that 1948 election in the Senate, we had a future president picked by 87 people.
Well, Dave, I don't know if, I hope that you're not being prophetic what's going to happen now, but there's a lot of indications of a lot of things that are happening. You know what I mean? So there is precedent for it, regardless of what the Democrats say. Now, we have a caller on the line from outside Philadelphia that has a comment once put in here. Mac, if you're there, would you want to pose the question, please?
Yeah, no, it's not a question. It's what you said about the UN. I said 30 seconds. I'm looking at my sweep secondhand. I just want to say this real quick.
All right.
You all remember when Reagan is being sworn in. I remember it real well. I was in the Navy. A ticker tape came across the screen. Hostages are on the way out. Remember that? I remember it.
Mm-hmm. Remember it well. Remember it well.
Well, you know, here's an answer. Here's a news flash. Here, how about this ticker tape? When Donald Trump raised his hand accepting the office of the president, the fireworks they had all up there in anticipation of Hillary Clinton, instead of that, there's a wrecking ball waiting for the destruction of the UN building, and they can build it back where Obama came from, and he can start his act down there.
there you go,
I
Mac.
Love it.
There
I
you
love
go.
It. See, great suggestion.
Oh, you never miss your words, do you, Mac?
Very, very.
Like we would say in the Navy, sighted, sank, same.
Yeah.
We had somebody text in and said that they could put the United Nations into the Hudson River, so it's going along with just what you're saying almost.
There you go,
Mac.
Simple but profound, Mac. Thank you very much. Dave.
By the way, if this does end up in a tie on the Electoral College of 269 mm-hmm. versus 269 for Clinton and for Trump, then the election should go into the House of Representatives according to the 12th Amendment. What that means is that the House of Representatives will pick the president. Each state will have one vote, and the majority within that state, within the House, will vote. Each state will have one vote, and they should pick the president. And of course, this 12th Amendment is one of the most famous elections. It was written because of the election between Thomas Jefferson and what's his name, Aaron Burr. They both came in tied. And as a result of that, there were 37 ballots in the House of Representatives, and the figures and the people of this country figured out if this happens again, there's going to be a military takeover of this country. And that's why they passed the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, to prevent a future military takeover.
Dave, I think that's a great point to bring up. We don't have much time left, but I do want to bring up one other thing. I think my personal sense is the narrative has been set by the fact that the Democrats have already claimed and accusing of suppression of votes. For instance, if in North Carolina, Charlotte, if in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, heavy black population, That's what they're counting on for the votes. If the black vote does not happen to be as heavy as it was, and that's what they're afraid of, they're going to accuse already of suppression of vote. Former CIA Director of Intelligence Carmen Medina just said a couple of days ago that the cyber attacks could occur the night of the election to disturb all of that. David New, just 10 seconds quickly. That would really put things up in the air, would it not, for a Wednesday morning decision?
Yes, it would be a frightening day if that happened.
So that's one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for, and we're going to do that in, frankly, the next segment. On the next segment, we are going to play a short clip of an interview with Donald and Melania Trump, where they were asked the questions about what they pray for and what is needed for people to pray for, and then we're going to close this program again in prayer, as we have been doing this week. Most important as we approach this election. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On November 3rd, 1924, in a radio address to the nation from the White House, President Calvin Coolidge stated, "I urge all voters of our country, without reference to party, that they assemble tomorrow at their respective voting places in the exercise of the high office of American citizenship, that they approach the ballot box in the spirit that they would approach a sacrament." President Coolidge continued, "Make your choice of public officers solely in the light of your conscience. When an election is so held, it sustains the belief that the voice of the people is the voice of God."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
McGinty says she's one of us, but look at her record.
McGinty became a millionaire on corporate boards after sending them our tax dollars. That's why she's known as Shady Katie.
McGinty's companies outsource jobs to China and Mexico instead of creating them in Pennsylvania.
There's more. In Washington, Katie McGinty was a registered lobbyist, and she wants to raise middle-class taxes.
McGinty has supported higher income taxes, sales taxes, and energy taxes, more than $3,000 per middle-class household.
Katie McGinty, a millionaire lobbyist who wants to raise our taxes.
She's not for us.
Pat Toomey is different. Even leading Democrats have called Toomey a man of uncommon decency and praised his seriousness, intellect, and civility.
Pat Toomey, for our jobs, our security, and common sense government.
I'm Pat Toomey, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Pat Toomey.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we move to the conclusion of this program today, this goes by so quickly. We are going to move into an element and time frame for praying for our country. We obviously have spoken a lot about the election. We have all week. We've had our guests actually pray, and I'm going to be asking David New to pray for certain things here in just a moment. But you know what? We cover these things because of the issues of the day. That's what this program is about. But to do it from a biblical and constitutional perspective, that's our goal. That's what we try to do. It is so good to hear from so many of you across the country that you are turning to this program for reliable news. We take that very, very seriously. And we know that at the end of the day, it's a spiritual problem that our nation faces. And if we're not coming forward in that regard with prayer and our heart leaning towards what the Word of God says, we're kidding ourselves, and that's we don't have time to do. I want to play just a little bit of a clip here, because just a short time ago, David Brody on CBN interviewed Donald and Melania Trump, and he asked them a question about their praying and what they're praying for. And I'd just like to play that briefly for us, and I'm going to go to you, Dave, and Gary, to highlight what you believe to be the most important things that we need to be praying for in this country. So if we could, Russ, let's go ahead and play that clip, if you can.
Approaches. What do you need prayer for?
Well, we always say health. Health is the most important, because if you have health, you could keep going, keep fighting.
I would say I would like them to pray for guidance and to pray for our country, because we need prayer now almost more than we've ever needed it before.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think, seriously, I don't think that Hillary Clinton or Tim Kaine would have submitted to an interview with David Brody at CBN, nor do I think that they would have, with sincerity, said, we need prayer for our nation. I think it's significant. And in part of that interview, Donald Trump actually referred to evangelicals and Christians in America, and he actually used the word we, which we've heard him say before. Now, I don't know whether Donald Trump is yet a believer. We've talked about journey of seeking, and that on many occasions, those close say absolutely for sure. But it also says something when publicly, not afraid to say, we, in association with those who are believers, those who are Christians, those who are evangelicals, because on the other side, that's never the case. They're always deplorables, and they are other things associated with it. So I think that's significant. Man, Dave, I want to go to you first, because Trump in that point said perhaps the challenges facing our nation, we need prayer, because they're perhaps bigger than they've ever been before. Dave, would you name perhaps one of the two, or whatever you want to do it, of the most important things that you think that you're praying for, perhaps, for our nation that's facing us right now?
Sam, I want to say this. I found Donald Trump's statement there to be incredibly humble and incredibly instructive. When he said, pray for guidance, he's talking about himself. I need wisdom from Almighty God. 2 Samuel 23:3, a verse we've referred to many times on this program, says, he that would rule over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And part of the fear of God, which is, of course, the beginning of wisdom, is an understanding. I need God to help me and give me guidance. And so I would say our nation right now needs leaders who will acknowledge that fact. And if they understand I need God's wisdom, chances are they're going to be leaders of great integrity. And then one last thing, Sam, I want to say, the nation needs churches and the nation needs pastors who are willing to stand up and unequivocally, forcefully, forthrightly, courageously declare and live the truth.
Dave, and that's exactly what the purpose and mission of the American Pastors Network is about, to do that very thing. Gary, let me go to you first. What would you say in response to that question?
It's interesting, Sam, that you asked that question, because last night at our midweek service at the church I pastor, Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, I gave to our congregation 12 significant things that we must pray for in America today. But just let me highlight it by saying this. Number one, we need to take the admonition of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, really. But, you know, to pray for each other and to pray for our leaders that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so we do need to pray for believers to take a strong stand. We need to pray for our leaders to seek the wisdom from God. And coupled into that, we need to pray for truth and justice to prevail in the United States of America, out of which we will fade away, and we will fade away very, very rapidly.
If we don't have justice, absolutely. David New, let me go to you now, if you can. And if you would take these things, perhaps, that Dave and Gary have said, plus your own, in the next couple of minutes, you have about 2 minutes here, if you could pray for these things, pray for our nation, and pray for the things that you believe are the greatest challenges that we are seeing in this country. Could you do that, please, for us?
Absolutely. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we approach thy throne of grace. Dear Father, we pray for America. We pray, dear Father, that America will receive a conviction of sin, that we will acknowledge that we have walked away from thy will, that we will have a conviction of sin as a nation. As George Washington said, we pray for the forgiveness of our national transgressions. Dear Father, at this time, we ask that this nation will come back, that it will do and honor and obey Almighty God, as George Washington said in the very first proclamation. We pray, dear Father, that this nation will find its way back to Jesus. Father, we thank thee for the freedoms that we have, but we know that we're losing more and more freedoms every day. We pray for strong leadership in the political realm. We pray for leadership in the churches and the pastors. We pray for truth, and we pray for justice. Most of all, dear Father, we thank thee for Jesus. We thank thee for what he has done and what he is doing today, and what he will do when that last day comes, when the great sound from Gabriel, when he blows that wonderful horn. We look forward to that day. Dear Father, give us victory in this election. Give us victory in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. David, thank you so much. David and Gary and all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that as you heard David New pray, lead us all across this country, all 425-plus stations that are a part of the Stand in the Gap Today network. I hope that you prayed along with that. And if you're listening to this program right now on delay, which many, many stations do, that as you are listening, that you will join in that and you will pray, because your prayer will go up just as urgently if you're playing along with this program delayed as you listen to it, or if you are praying along and you're listening to it live. And I hope that all of those who are listening to this program understand that that our nation, blessed of God, is at a transition point. May God's people understand what is at stake, repent, and in obedience turn back to him. And we do pray for God's mercy on our nation. And we trust that you'll be with us tomorrow. We're going to talk about some economic things that are going to be a contrast between these two candidates, something we haven't talked about much. And I'm going to be having a millennial pastor speak to us a little bit about what's going through the minds of millennials regarding this election, and then he will close us in prayer tomorrow as well as we complete this week. So stay with us. 23 hours from now, Lord willing, we'll be back with you, all of our listeners across the country. God bless you. Stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.